In the name of our living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So today we hear the second half of Jesus' first sermon to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. Last week it started so well, but now something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. The congregation erupts in violence, and they threaten to throw Jesus off a cliff. And we are confused, right? Because we all know that whatever or whoever Jesus is, he is supposed to be nice at all times. I mean, we were raised, I certainly was in the South, raised that that was the chief virtue of life, was to be nice. I mean, you can't always be smart and brave and giving and creative and all that, but in all times and in all places, Mama said, you be nice. In fact, for many people, that's the summation of the gospel. God sent Jesus in the world to tell us to be nice. Sad to say, for many churchgoers, the gospel is not about what God does for us in Jesus Christ, but what we're supposed to do for others, which is, of course, at a basic level, to be nice and polite, and if all possible, to be cute as well. That's the Episcopal edition there. And that was certainly true in the South. But occasionally, a northerner would move in and shake things up. When my daughter, Katie, was five, she took her first ballet lessons. And so we took her downtown. Well, it was a small town, but took her downtown to Miss Christina's. And Miss Christina had just retired from teaching ballet in New York City. So she lined up these 12 little five-year-olds in their leotards and said, "Now, girls, face the mirror." And they did, and the parents were off in the back watching this. And she said, "Now I want you to look closely because every one of you is cute. Each of you is unbelievably cute. So my job here is not to teach you how to be cute. You already know how to do that. My job is to teach you how to dance, which is much more difficult than being cute." This experience with Katie reminded me of my own childhood in Atlanta. I played in an area band, elementary band. And it was called the Northside Highlanders Elementary Band. And we got to wear the coolest uniforms with the Highlander thing and the sash and the little thing that hangs down in front and the hat. And we had spats on our shoes. But once a month, the leader, a severe woman named Mrs. Sisk, would come to my school and get me out of class. And I'd have my little cornet and I'd go. And she'd plop me down, put the music up, and I'd have to play. And every measure I got right, I got a point for. And she had this little book, and she wrote in this tight script, and she added up the points for that day, and then added that to all the points I'd gotten that year. And that total number determined which chair in the trumpet section I got to sit. And I never could figure out, but my cute did not influence her one bit in that process. Not one bit. And her gift, of course, to me was letting me know how to play and to teach me the right song. So we could look at Jesus this way. He comes to his hometown, to his friends and relatives. They know him very well. But it turns out they'd been playing the wrong music. He wants to teach them God's music, God's song, but they've got it in the wrong key and they got the rhythm all messed up. They thought the music was like a John Philip Sousa, Stars and Stripes Forever, but in fact it was much more like Dvorak's New World Symphony. They've been performing a song about the glories of God's exclusive love for Israel. And Jesus said, no, God's music is God's exclusive love for all nations. And he says, you know, there were many widows in the time of the great prophet Elijah, but the only one that God helped was the heathen woman, widow, living in modern, what we call Lebanon today. And in the time of Elijah's successor, there were tons of lepers, but the only leper that God healed was a Syrian. And not only that, he was the general of the Syrian army. But the deeper problem is not just that Jesus reminds them that God also loves foreigners. I mean, after all, that's part of their Bible. They knew that story. And that on the Temple Mount, there was a whole place set apart called Court of the Gentiles, where the Gentiles could come to the temple. So they're not xenophobic. What bothered them the most is that Jesus did not bring his messianic blessings to Nazareth. He'd done all this great stuff at Capernaum, and they're not better than Nazareth, but he doesn't do it to them. And the Gospel of Mark, in writing about this event in a much shorter way, says Jesus could do no deed of power there, and he was amazed at their unbelief. It's as if Jesus came in here today and said, let me tell you what God is doing, the fabulous thing God is doing at the Kingdom Hall over there on Pine Street in Lowell. He's healing the sick and raising the dead, and they're feeding the hungry and casting out demons and curing diseases. It's incredible. And he said, let me tell you about what's going on down at the Mormon church down in Billerica. God is just doing amazing things, but God ain't going to do anything here at All Saints because you've been singing the wrong song for too long, and you don't have now the faith to hear it. Well, there are only two ways to respond to that message. One is to fall on our knees and say, well, please, Jesus, teach us the right music. The other is to, the more natural one for me, is to get jealous and then get angry and then maybe get a little violent, get a little mob mentality going. I can feel that pretty easy. Let's face it, Jesus wasn't nice. He could have buttered them up. He could have just sat there and told them how wonderful they were. He wasn't nice. But was he mean? Not at all. For Jesus, the opposite of nice isn't mean, but loving. Or as the 12-step movement tells us, tough love, true love. I had a member in a parish in North Carolina named Robert. He was retired military. He was in my office, I bet, once a week complaining about my ministry and how I wasn't doing it right and about the lack of the faith in the church. He was one of the few in the parish that called me Father. So he'd start out, now Father, and then it just went downhill from there. But he had his charms. But basically, he was an angry, not nice person. He had not, or if he had learned, he'd forgotten how to practice the social skills of a southern gentleman. But wouldn't you know it, Jesus put God's music in Robert's heart. So one day, Robert went around to find all the homeless people in town, our little town of 20,000. He found a guy living under the bridge. He found a guy living in a burned out old van. He found a couple people living in cardboard boxes down near the river. By the time Robert got through, he had found 20 homeless people that the rest of us had never noticed. Well, and then the song got so strong in his heart, he went around to the mainline churches to see if he could find room for these people at night. You may not be surprised to realize the mainline churches just didn't quite have enough room for them, but he did find room at the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church. They allowed Robert to turn their parish hall into the homeless shelter. So Jesus' song kept getting sung and played. And you know, that melody was picked up by the rest of our churches, and we caught it, and we started serving the dinners for the men and started offering volunteers who would spend a night there each night of the week, staffing the shelter. Jesus is God's love song for the world. We don't earn that love, and you may say, well, he keeps saying that. Well, I'm going to keep saying it. You don't earn that love. It is a sheer gift. And it is a tragic blunder, has been said, to read the story of redemption as something dependent on my faith. Somehow I can't get God's love unless I have enough faith. It's a tragic blunder. Also, to think I've got to do something to make it happen. But it is also a tragic blunder to read the gospel as though God's free gift means I get to sit on the sidelines, that I don't have to offer my life in response to what God is doing, that I don't get to participate, I don't have to participate in his singing of his love song to the whole world. After Miss Christina told those 12 girls that she was there to teach them to dance and to not be cute, One of the mothers got incensed, yanked her child out of Miss Christina's dance school and took him across town to, this is the name of it, they've got a website still there, Les Moulin Rouge de Dance. And they teach girls, at least they did then, I'm sure it's a wonderful place now, but back then they taught girls how to be cuter by shaking their hind parts. I'll be happy to tell you the nickname I had for this place when I'm not being recorded. Some churches find it that our goal is to make ourselves cute and nice, thinking this will attract people. But what visitors to churches are really looking for is a community that can help them find their voice to sing God's song. Jesus is God's love song to the world. And we know we've heard this song when we start performing it, not just in church, which is important, but in places like home and at work and in places where nice people often don't show up. Amen.